New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
We're live. What's up, everybody? Welcome to West by Pod, a podcast about West Virginia football, the Big 12 Conference, and tucking your tail between your legs. I'm Joel Bracken, at WV Stats Guy. I'm joined by Jordan Pinto, at Game Day Shorts. Jordan, you were in Morgantown for the very prolonged weather-delayed game. How were vibes throughout your day, and how are you hanging here on Sunday?
Yeah, man, vibes were immaculate. I'd say, you know, right up through about 12 p.m. When the game kicked. Yeah, the parking lot was fantastic. The weather cooperated and everything held off. But yeah, it was just one of those games where I don't know, tail tucked is a good way to put it. That's definitely how I feel now. I don't know. You know, I think we said last week, right? We didn't want to let this game define our season. We didn't think that it should, but that at the same time, you know, it was a measuring stick game to, you know, really get a feel for where you are. And you know, I can't remember us playing a worse game of football on all three sides of the ball. I mean, you know, certainly not last year. Possibly, you know, it's been a couple years since I've seen us play. I've never seen Garrett play that bad. No. Play that timidly. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, are there any positives to take away from this? Like, how'd it look on TV?
I think there are a few positives, and I think, yeah, we'll get into them. I think some things, you know, shined through, but stadium, first of all, just stadium looked awesome on TV, mostly speaking pre-delay. I don't remember exactly how long the delay was, but was it 2 hours? Or
like it was two and change, yeah. I want to say it was like 2.5, yeah.
Which just like, kind of, it feels like, you know, the air coming out of a balloon a little bit, where it's like, there's so much hype, Pat McAfee show on Friday, and, you know, Big Noon on game day, and you know, you mentioned the Blue Lot stuff and everything, and then, yeah, you just kind of let it all, like, fizzle away, where you're down two touchdowns, and then you gotta wait 3 hours between snaps, stuff. So, I think positives, stadium looked awesome. I think there are a couple players, that looked good, but yeah, I think we came out pretty flat and maybe a little shell-shocked, I don't know, maybe just like, you know, I imagine after not playing a real live snap of football for so long, it does feel different. Penn State, you know, probably could say the same thing the way the game started. I feel like everybody was just a little jumpy to get the thing underway, but hey, Penn State's a really good team. I imagine they're going to win 10 or more games this year. They're that kind of program, and historically they've kind of done this to us, and you know, they did it again. I think that's the thing. I don't know how far I feel comfortable extrapolating from this game. Penn State might and maybe you say more likely than not might be in the playoff, and we're probably not as good as that team. But how does that rank up? Is Penn State a top 8 team this year? Maybe. And, you know, maybe we played worse to our, you know, true measure than they did. But yeah, disappointing, but I'm really not too pessimistic on anything in front of us. It's a bummer that there was all this buildup for this game, but I think there's plenty to be still excited about, and nothing to, like, I'm not panicking about any individual thing too bad after this. As much as it kind of sucked to watch, we just kind of got beat on all phases. I don't know if you want to, did you watch any of the pressers, like Neil? Do you have a grade on how you feel like the coaching staff or how Neil's reaction to sort of everything was?
I didn't super care. I mean, you know, I wasn't probably in the right state of mind to watch the press conference. And I don't mean that I had too much alcohol. I just mean, like, you know, I was pissed off and I wasn't really ready to hear excuses. And, you know, I think he had some points, right? Like, a lot of that shit is just not stuff that you would expect from a veteran offense, right? Like Garrett short-arming a throw to the flat in the end zone and missing a guy by, you know, 10 yards. Or, I mean, back-to-back snaps, right? Hitting dudes in motion. And, you know, I think Neil even said, he's like, yeah, that happened twice in a row and we stopped doing motion stuff. And it's like, guess what? That's when our offense stopped being even a little bit effective. Yeah, you know, I think my main positive from this game is that it's in the rear view and Penn State's probably, I don't, probably not even prob-, Penn State's the best team that we'll play. So having them in the rear view is good. You know, I don't even think we played our C game. You know, I don't recall us playing a worse, like a more complete bad game of football than we did. Cause I think you even said it, like Penn State was nervy at the beginning too, right? You know, they didn't blow me away. Really with anything that they did, they were making enough bad plays to, like, that we had a chance. I mean, shit, even into the last 3 minutes of the first half, you know, we get the ball down 13-3 and that whole sequence changes the game, right? Cause we call a timeout with about a minute and a half left, for some reason, stop the clock. I think we called a timeout with like 12 seconds on the play clock. And I immediately turned to my brother. I was like, why are we doing this? We're on like the 30-yard line. You don't need a minute and a half to score from the 30-yard line. Then I think, you know what, on the third down, it was like 3rd and 5 or something, we throw an incomplete pass. And so there's twice where you stop the clock, you kick a field goal, but Penn State has 30 seconds. I mean, I'm not going to get into the pass interference and the guy didn't catch the touchdown. Well, you know, whatever. But like, they shouldn't have even had a chance to get the ball and drive down the field if we had managed the clock better. So, like, you know, it's just like, even as bad as we played, we were right there. And then, you know, you go into the break, come back, and we never really got going after that. But yeah, it's in the rear view. And I think, you know, like, looking ahead, right? If we're 3-1 at the end of September, I think a lot of this is probably largely forgotten. Or at least swept under the rug. You know, I'm sure it's a scab that can be picked if we lay another egg. But yeah, you know, I think there's a chance to move past this and not have it be a big deal.
I think a big thing for me is, like, so I think it's fair to say that Penn State is the more talented, like, skill wise, the football team, more talented than ours. When you want to pull an upset, you have to execute in terms of the small things. You got to get a little luck, or you have to capitalize on your opportunities better. That's kind of like your recipe, and then you're hoping you have some guys, like, you know, stand out, make some big plays. And really, like you mentioned, until the final drive of the first half, that they, you know, you mentioned, I think most people would agree it was offensive pass interference, and then the catch that doesn't get reviewed, you know, that's also, you know, two plays in a row, really kind of, you know, a bummer for us. We probably got gifted a fourth down conversion on the previous drive that I don't think we got, but you know, that aside, I'm looking at the first half, and in the first half, we have 4 drives. We get inside their 30-yard line, and we score 6 points, and that's not good enough when you are the team who needs to pull the upset. We weren't creative, or, you know, we tried quarterback sneak on like 1.5 yards. I think this is the one team we're playing this year. I don't feel great that we're going to win the trench battle. think maybe against any other team, yeah, maybe that's a valid thing, but not here. And I just think you had opportunities. You get a turnover in their territory. Aller's missing throws early. They're not looking like the better team through the majority of the first half. You in this game, you lose the game by 22 points. Both teams, and I'm looking at collegefootballdata.com, they have some cool advanced analytics scoreboards afterwards. They classify an opportunity as a drive where you get the ball past the 40, the opponent's 40. So, you know, like a double red zone, basically. West Virginia had 5 of those. Penn State had 5 of those. West Virginia only scored 13 points on, or sorry, 12 points, I guess, on those. Penn State scored 28. So right there, that's your 2-touchdown difference. Then there's 1-touchdown difference in the game if you know, you kind of like strike the same on opportunities. You know, they capitalized. They made some plays in space. They definitely exploited us in space a few times they could. But really, yeah, I mean, until the very final drive of the game of the first half, I'm thinking, wow, like, I kind of thought we moved the ball better than them. I kind of thought we controlled the flow of the game a little better than them. And unfortunately, that doesn't count for any points on the scoreboard. It's just when you put it in the end zone or through the uprights. And, you know, 4 drives inside the 30 in the first half, you get 2 field goals and 2 turnover on downs and a fumble. Yeah, that's just not good enough. You're like, I think right there is like the big thing to me. You get the crowd going, you know, like what if it's a 13-13 game going into the weather delay? The crowd's going to stick around. You know, we're going to keep believing. There's 2 quarters left and we're in this thing as much as they are, you know. I think those are small things, but it could have changed the trajectory of the game. Yep. Because, yeah, I never was going to feel good once we got down 2 touchdowns. And, of course, 3 right after the break. Yeah, you don't feel good that you're going to be able to come back on a team like this.
Do you think we should have gone or should have taken field goals on those first couple early drives?
I think field goals are, to quote Parker from Stats of War, field goals are failures. I think if you, I mean, this is just, you know, a field goal is 3, a touchdown is 7 if you kick the extra point. If you go for it every time, if you go for it on 2 drives and you score a touchdown on one of them, it's still better than kicking the field goal both times. Yeah. So I feel like, yeah, we should have. I didn't love some of the play call, especially, I mean, even the ones we did pick up, like I said, the one on review, like it didn't look like we were even close.
CJ got stopped short on that one for sure. It looked like he got like a full half yard of gift from the refs. Yeah. But hey, you know what?
I'm cool with being aggressive, but yeah, maybe a different wrinkle. I didn't necessarily love that we were just like, let's go straight up the middle and these guys of all teams were playing. It just didn't feel like the right call to me.
Yeah, I think I feel the same way about going for it. I didn't mind the calls at the time. I thought they were the right calls because it's like it's one of those things where you go out and assert your will and pick up 3 fourth down conversions and go score a touchdown. Like, that's a big statement. Mm-hmm. Do you think possibly, you're right, the play calls, a little bit of us becoming a victim of the moment of, oh, it's Penn State, we're going to man the fuck up and get this first down on them, right? And to your point, it's like, I understand the desire to do that, but like you got to be bigger than some of that stuff sometimes. Yeah. And you know, I felt like we were kind of, it felt like we were in our own heads a little bit about a lot of certain things, you know? So like Garrett, it felt like he was playing robotic, and it's like, what have we heard all summer is how much time he put into his footwork and how much time he put into his technique and all this stuff.
It's like, okay. I'll give the caveat that defense, I mean, they're nasty. They're fast and physical. They're big. Like, yes, that is a thing, but you're totally right.
And then, you know, I think the play calling, Neil talking about how we got to be able to throw it on early downs, and it's like, it felt like we kind of became obsessed with that a little bit, where it's like, okay, we're throwing it on early down, and then we'd hurry up, and then we'd run it. And I felt like we did this sequence on 3 or 4 drives, where we'd throw on first down, run on second down, and 7 seconds have passed and it's 3rd and 9. And now like, what the fuck do we do? You know, where it's just like, it just never felt like we got into a rhythm. And you know, again, right. A lot of that is probably that we're playing a very, very good defense, probably a top 5 to 10 defense in the country. They make it hard for people to find a rhythm. That's part of them being good. But yeah, it just didn't feel like we helped ourselves. You know, I felt like we were kind of, in our own heads about all the stuff that we talked about we needed to improve on in the offseason. We need to be better at this and that and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, at the end of the day, like, just because, you know, we weren't good at something last year, now we want to be better at it, doesn't mean that we, like, can't fall back on, like, the shit that we were good at last year. Like, you know,
yeah,
motioning guys, like, getting Garrett on the run. Did Garrett even have, like, a rollout package in the game?
He had, I think, zero scrambling yards in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, what, like, five rushing yards total? And so it's like, dude, that's not the recipe that won us nine games last year. You know?
Well, you look at the profile of that defense, too. Nasty pass rush. And really good secondary as well. I mean, this is the best defense we're going to play. I don't think it can be overstated that, not to make excuses, but this is, if you want a silver lining, this is the best defense we're going to play. I like our running backs and offensive line matching up against their team better than our passing game and our receivers' ability to, like, create space that. So, yeah, I think we had a lot of success running the ball last year. This year, in this game, I think we averaged 3 yards per play on first down. I mean, we just didn't get on schedule. We're not an offense, unfortunately, that is built to, you know, play from behind in a big capacity or play catch up like that. We're not that kind of team. So one number I did have I thought was interesting, too. Garrett Green, you know, the time to throw number on PFF, 2.41. So that's the average time to throw when he dropped back. That was lower than any game last year, other than the FCS game, which I think is just throw out data because sure dudes are flying wide open. So not a lot of time to throw, and didn't seem like a lot of guys really were open. You know, some of the replays, like one of our drives, I think that ended in 0 points on a third down. We had a guy come slant right across the middle. They had cover zero, and he was open. And you know, Garrett throws it to... Like, there's some misses in there, but equally, Aller missed some dudes who probably would have, you know, been explosive plays. So, it's a bummer. I'm not trying to extrapolate too much because I think we still have the identity to get done what we did last year and in a league where I think we're going to be playing a lot competition that it's going to, like, lend us to have advantages where it's like, I don't know if we had too many individual one-on-one advantages versus Penn State.
Nope. And just didn't execute anywhere near the level we would have needed to overcome. Yeah. Overcome that talent disparity. So, yep. Bummer. Felt like a good chance for, you know, something special and just a little bit short. So, we go again next week.
We keep going. So just peeking at some numbers, you know, Garrett Green, pretty poorly graded game on PFF. It's in the 50s. Our running game, you know, Jaheim gets shaken up early. On a play, he doesn't even have the ball, which is a real bummer. You know, CJ goes for only 42 yards. Jaheim got 33 in, and most of it was on his first three runs. So, you know, just never really got a running game established. And then, you know, if you look at PFF receiver grades, I mean, nobody catches. I said this in our preview that last year we only had one guy catch more than two balls. That is once again true. Treylon Ray caught four and nobody else caught more than two. Preston Fox had some great catches. His two catches, I think both of them were pretty fantastic. He took a big shot and he laid out on the other one. But yeah, I mean, you have nobody who with more than 41 receiving yards to go with your rushing game that doesn't have anyone with more than 42 yards. I mean, yeah, it doesn't. It's not rocket science. You're not gonna get it done with those numbers. You also have Milam get hurt. I mean, or I think cramp, not really hurt. You know,
what's the deal? I thought he was playing really well. I thought it was going really well. Yeah, it's a shame
that happened. Jaheim and Milam both missed time. Arguably two of our three best players on offense. I mean, yeah, that's substantial. I don't know if it changes the outcome of the game if they play every snap. But, yeah, just nothing went right. You know, you get these kind of, a couple ref things didn't go right. You miss your opportunities, you know, like it, some injuries, a rain delay that I don't think helped us. I mean, I don't think it.
No.
But it didn't help us.
I was very vocal about telling all the Penn State fans in the concourse that we were 1-0 off of weather delays last year. So they were in big. important stat. Trouble. But yeah. Yeah, it didn't turn out to bear fruit there. Yeah, you know, we were talking, it's like, dude, you don't have to be you know, running away with this game. You don't have to be going crazy, but just like sprinkle in nuggets for us to cheer about throughout the game. And it just felt like there were so few of those where it's like we stacked any sort of momentum together. Felt like every time we got momentum, we immediately gave it back.
Yeah.
Just really stupid. Just really stupid stuff.
What about Josiah Trotter?
Thought he looked good. Was around the ball a lot. Hustles his ass off, dude. I remember the one, and I was about to spike my sunglasses and fucking lose my mind. But yeah, it was like that third Aller scramble where he just, I don't understand. The guy's a fucking giraffe. I don't understand how he's running away from us and stuff. But yeah, he almost breaks out of there again, and Trotter like missed him the first time and then ran all the way back across the field and knocked him out of bounds to save, I think, what, to force a third down or force a fourth down maybe. But
yeah,
he looked the part. I'm trying to think if anybody else on defense really looked great.
I mean, Trotter led the team in tackles. Once again, this guy's a redshirt freshman. Led the team in tackles.
Snaps, yeah.
Yeah, led the team in tackles with 9. Of those 9, 7 of them were what PFF considers stops, which is when you a tackle that constitutes a failure. So I'm for the offense. So he had almost an 83 grade, a 78 grade in coverage. So a linebacker who was able to play the coverage game. I think he had a really nice game. Played 42 snaps. So I mean, that was my bright spot. Trey Lathan with a 71.5 grade also. A fine game. We just didn't get any pressure on defense, man. I mean, like, nobody got to the ball.
I'm just thinking about this, and it feels so stupid to say, what did we give up? 460 yards. We gave up over 200 rushing and passing, but it felt like 80% of that was on like 6 plays.
70% of their passing yards came on 2 plays. That is fact.
Okay, yeah. And so one of those shouldn't even happen because it's a push-off.
Yeah.
And so there's that. And then, like, really, I felt we bottled the running game up pretty well except for the touchdown. And then he had another one that he almost kind of broke as a touchdown, which, again, you know, if all of the bad plays that happened had not have happened, then, yeah, the game looks better for us. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I really do feel like, you know, like you said, I felt like we moved the ball more consistently than they did. Like, they just, you know, we let stuff get out the back end, and they never did. Like, you know, what was our longest play? 20, 25 yards, something like that. So,
yeah, not long at all. I mean, yeah, if there was no scoreboard on the TV and no yard lines, I would say we won the first half, other than the very final drive.
Yeah.
It felt like we, you know, were moving the ball and controlling things.
Had it on their side of the field a lot. Yeah, no, agree.
Yeah,
gotta pay it off though.
Hindsight is 20/20 in these situations, but you know, I feel like a missed opportunity in college in the final chunk of a half, or in general, if a ball is 50 yards up in the air and you think that the other guy's going to catch it, why do you not just pull him to the ground and take 15 and live to fight another day? You know, Aubrey Burks, I think, was spun around. I think we were in cover 2 there, and somehow he's in that position. But he, yeah, I mean, that's, like I said, a hindsight 20/20. Just drag him to the ground. There's going to be 10 seconds on the clock, and they're going to be on, like, the 35, their own 35, something like that. That's a tough one. Yeah, and then the following play, we play, I think, cover 1. So we give him a man matchup on the outside, and a play that is awarded a touchdown happens, and that stinks. And just a bummer. I don't know. I'm interested. Maybe the thing I'm interested, two things I'm interested in the most to see. What kind of running game do we have compared to last year? We were the top power team in rushing last year. I don't think we're going to be number one. We lost an NFL starter on an offensive line. But I think if we can be in the same range, important. Second thing is, can we generate pressure without blitz? Because I feel like we heard some buzz about how we had a deep defensive line and we could get guys in the backfield causing problems. We had 5 pressures, 3 of them from TJ Jackson. But can we get pressure with 3 or 4 guys going? Because we didn't. and that, you know, Aller did not even have that great of a day. PFF grade, not that great. Definitely missed some throws early. Yeah. And yeah, it felt like he still had like time to throw, had a clean pocket.
Dude, enough. He's such a fucking nerd too, man. Like, you see the goofy smile on his face when he's like talking shit, and it's almost like he can't believe. He's like, oh, this happened. Like, oh, cool. You know? Yeah. Right. Like, it's not like he's out there like some badass, like alpha dog. I just can't believe we let him do that shit to us, man. Cause yeah, you know, I think a lot of people talking about how great he looked in the new offense and all that stuff. And I wasn't blown away by their offense, really. Like I said, you know, which again feels stupid. It's going to come off as salty, but
I think really they were in the same way we were, like, you know, I think they had all these like gadgets and bells and whistles in the motion of the offense, like Kansas ran. And I don't think they were doing it well to start.
No.
They were kind of like really sloppy with it. Yeah. But
anyways. All right. Do we need anything else on Penn State?
Yeah, just a bummer. Flush it. Everything's in front of us. This team, I'd say 60% chance they're in the playoffs. And that's fine. We play them in the Big 12, and everything's still in front of us. Silver lining, I don't hate playing our hardest game early. If even if it's a loss, it's a standard now. This is like what we need, you know, and it's actually, maybe second aside, I will say is I heard a stat that we are the only school in the country to play 11 power games for 4 consecutive years.
Yeah.
Why are we playing? You know, it stinks that we have to schedule games that are regional and mean things to people out of conference. But yeah, it's kind of a bummer that, you know, everyone else is playing like Northwest, South Dakota, you know, random directional roast beef tech, and we're out here playing Penn State to start the season. It's rough.
Just like you said, just to make people care about the out of conference schedule at all. I mean, any of those roast beef tech games that we need to talk about? I guess North Dakota State gave Colorado a little scare.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. Yeah, there's enough that aren't even worth mentioning that are 40 point plus. So yeah, on Friday night, Colorado, North Dakota State. That was a good game. Thursday night. Yeah, you're right. Travis Hunter, dude, he's going to be in the Heisman race. I mean, he's a freak.
He's unreal. Yeah, he's very good. He's very good. Two of those catches were outrageous. The third were, well, I guess it was the first one is easy, but then he just runs away from like 3 people like they're not even there. Yeah, he's out of control. I'm pretty sure that Joel, you and I, and maybe a selection of 9 folks from the Musket Discord could go score on Colorado's defense. But, you know, so I think they're still going to have some issues there. And Shadur was still running for his life on every damn play. But yeah, their top end talent is fucking top.
Yeah.
Tip top.
Yeah. They got a couple dudes and they got a couple weaknesses. So they're going to be, if I just got to guess, forward, Colorado is going to be a team that's going to win like 3 games it shouldn't, and it's going to lose like 2 that it should win pretty handily. You know, they're going to be that team, I feel like. So moving into Friday, we had TCU Stanford. TCU pulls this one out on the road. I don't think Stanford is a great football team by any stretch of the imagination, but TCU pulls it out by a touchdown, 34-27. Quarterback for TCU, Hoover, threw for 353, so solid outing for them. I didn't really watch this game, so I think this was like a super late kickoff, which now is going to happen. We're going to miss some of these games because they don't kick till 10:30 Eastern.
I watched the first quarter. It was 7-7 when I turned it off. So
Big 12 after dark now.
That's right. That's right. But I mean, a game we needed to win for the conference, though. So good job to you.
It's a good one. Moving into Saturday, Oklahoma State handled South Dakota State 44-20. Ollie Gordon went for 104. K-State handled business. Arizona put up 61. I'm sure you've seen the highlights of McMillan.
Yeah. McMillan, yeah.
Dog. 340 yards receiving, 4 touchdowns.
10 catches.
He is your road to glory guy when you got it turned down to freshman and you're just like, throw it deep. Cincinnati handles Towson 38-20. Iowa State beats North Dakota 21-3. I think not an overly impressive game there, but they did it. UNLV houses Houston. Yeah. Bad look for Houston. They're going to be a dumpster fire this year, I think. It's going to be a rough one. 27-7. Take the loss at home to start the season for Houston. Texas Tech, I'd say, was the most exciting game for maybe a neutral, upset-hungry fan. Take Abilene Christian to overtime and win 52-51 when Abilene goes for the two-point to win. This is crazy. The Abilene Christian quarterback threw for 506 yards against Texas Tech.
That's a lot. Yeah, it puts things in perspective, man. You know, you see some of these other scores, and it's like, okay, well, you know, we got beat by a good team, but like, you know, there's some real pants shitting going on out here by some of these teams. I mean, UNLV smoking Houston at home, tough. And then, yeah, I mean, 500 yards. Like, can you imagine if Duquesne came to Morgantown and put up 500 yards of offense, and we had to beat them in fucking overtime? We'd burn the athletic department to the ground.
You think Leslie would keep his job? You think the Leslie burners would be in full force?
God.
Oh, man. Jeez.
You know, it is nice. It's nice to have things put in perspective here and take a little bit of joy and comfort at the unfortunate situations that other people run into. So,
yeah. So that was the Big 12 recap. Two other games I want to highlight. Virginia Tech lost to Vanderbilt. Just because, you know, that is of note to us a little bit. My tab refreshed. They actually staged a pretty nice comeback in the third quarter and into the fourth, but couldn't hold on in overtime. Vanderbilt wins at 34-27. And then Pitt played Kent State, you know, not a strong opponent. They go with Holstein at quarterback. He's a freshman. He does throw for 333 yards. Narduzzi was probably crying, throwing up. With a passing offense doing that, he hates that stuff. So, an interesting wrinkle, which we will be covering more with Pitt. Obviously, West Virginia plays Albany next week, but Pitt is the next one. Pitt plays Cincy this coming week. So, that's a great segue to our Big 12 precap. What's going on in the conference this coming week? There are so many Big 12 games. I mean, it's just it's the out of conference when it's like every team's, you know, they're not even interconference games. So, you know, we have like 16 games to run through, but we'll hit them quick. Friday night, two good games, BYU SMU, wrong conference here. That was the right conference, wrong tab. BYU SMU is on Friday night. So just the one game in the Big 12, SMU favored by 12 points. And this is it at SMU. So, moving into Saturday, we play Albany at 6 p.m. Arkansas travels to Oklahoma State. Could be a good one. Oklahoma State favored by 8. Kansas State is traveling to Tulane. You hate to travel as a power school to the group schools. Kansas State favored by 10 here. But this will be a good check for them. Pitt and Cincy, I'll probably tune in. A nooner. Cincinnati actually favored by 1. This is down at Nippert. That'll be a good scalp to see two teams we play this year and Pitt the following week. 3:30, another good one, Baylor and Utah. This is that non-conference game, or I guess maybe the other way around. I don't know. It doesn't count for Big 12 standings. It was scheduled before the Big 12, Pac-12 merger deal, whatever. Utah favored by 15. Baylor getting a little disrespected there, I feel like, but
who did Baylor 45-3 over Tarleton? Yeah, but I mean that doesn't mean anything. I would have guessed 2 touchdowns for this one. Utah looked good on Friday, and Baylor maybe not that good, so
yeah. Several good games here, though. Moving to the 3:30 slot, the game we just mentioned, and then also Iowa State, Iowa. Always a good one. It is in Kinnick Stadium this year. Iowa 3-point favorites as of right now. The over-under is 35. Not a lot of points probably going to come out of that one, but always a good game. UCF gets Sam Houston. They're favored by almost 24. Kansas travels to Illinois. Kansas 6.5-point favorites in Champaign. Could be a sneaky one. I'm tuned in a little bit for Kansas. I would love to see the difference with Kotelnecki moving to Penn State. What has Kansas really got in the bag this year? So I think this is going to be a good test for them. They're about a touchdown favorite on the road. I'll probably have this one on the side. Other games in the evening slot, Colorado and Nebraska should be a good one as well. Nebraska favored by 7. Houston, Oklahoma, OU favored by 28. That's going to be a lot of points. Yeah. TCU plays Long Island. Long Island actually played Albany in week one. So, and Albany won by 6 points. So that might be a comparison. Not matter too much though. North Arizona, great running school. I don't think a good football school. They play Arizona. A lot of points going to come out of that one. Texas Tech at Washington State. Washington State is favored, the pride of the Pac-12. 1.5-point favorites. And the last game, 10:30 kickoff, Mississippi State traveling to Arizona State. Arizona State 4-point favorites. What are like two or three of those that you're looking to watch this weekend?
I think that I will probably try and watch Colorado Nebraska. It's a kind of a historic rivalry reawakening there. And, you know, obviously there's some star power with what Colorado has, and then Dylan Raiola on the other side. So curious to see if he's everything he's cracked up to be. And then, you know, I think early would be looking at Pitt-Cincy, just because we play both of those teams. So there's some relevance there. Get a better feel for, is this new Pittsburgh offense going to translate against power teams? You know, they look pretty good against Western Michigan last week. So I'm definitely curious there. And then I think Arkansas, Oklahoma State's the other one that I'll probably look at, just because power on power. So should be interesting.
I think those all sound good. Iowa State, Iowa, always a fun one. Just Iowa seems to have their number most years, but love a good in-state rivalry. Like I said, I'm going to have an eye on this Kansas-Illinois game just because I'm curious. Kansas is our two-week-out game. I kind of want to see what they're cooking with this year, and I wonder if there's going to be any offensive regression. Yeah, just interested to see. So, West Virginia plays Albany. Like I mentioned, Albany played Long Island, and we've played Long Island in recent years. So, just kind of think of a similar caliber team to Long Island. They beat them 27-21 last week, or yeah, this previous week. I don't think we're going to give Albany a full scout. It's an FCS team. We are the far superior talented team. What are like what's a thing or two that you would like to see this week that would give you a little confidence or make you feel good? Besides getting every dude in rotation and getting some meaningful snaps, you know, all that good stuff. Anything that you're looking for in a game like this that you think is meaningful?
I think averaging in the run game, you know, 7-8 yards a carry, right? Where you're just kind of mowing yardage up, and I don't know, maybe you break one or two long ones, but like, you know, This is a team you should be able to move out of the way, right? Like, if we have a good offensive line, a good rushing offense, if we think we're going to be anywhere near what we think we are, this is one where, yeah, you should be able to run it down their throat playing basic football, just man on man, hat on hat, move people out of the way, get 7-8 yards, and then do it again the next play. I think to that end, would love to see Garrett, you know, obviously you don't want to overcommit him to the run game against a school like this, you know, because it's, let's be honest, it's probably not necessary to have that wrinkle in there. But just with as poorly as it went, I think for his confidence, you need to get him going a little bit on the ground and get that swagger back. And then I think, you know, defensively, would like to see it look a little bit better on the back end, and then, like, yeah, like you said, generate some pressure without sending blitzes, because that's something going forward, man. Like, if we can't do it with three, then we need to pop open the Tony Gibson book, the playbook, and start dialing some stuff up. You know,
yeah.
Right? Because not everybody has the luxury of, I can send my defensive line and we're going to get pressured, right? But everybody needs to get pressured. So we need to figure out pretty, you know, pretty well sooner than later if that's something we're going to be able to do. If we can't do it against Albany, then that's when you probably need to start figuring out, okay, what are our blitz packages going to be? When are we going to run that kind of stuff? So,
yeah, that's a good call out. I'm just flashing through Albany's PFF grades from the first week. You know, nothing really popping off the page too spectacular. The quarterback, Miles Burkett, went 12 for 26 for 170 yards. He had a 41 PFF grade. Nothing too crazy as I'm flashing through. They got 20 guys in the game on defense. Only got, 16 dudes played at least 8 snaps. I think the talent gap is significant, and with these games, you know, you just hope everyone gets in, gets some experience, no injuries, and yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I'd love to see some 3 or 4 man pass rushes that actually get some pressure. I'd like to see a defensive back go up and ball hawk a ball or two, show that we're turning our heads around and doing that. And just generally good vibes. Let's get this thing rolling. I bet we'll do a touch of pit preparation this week. That game's going to be important and fun. And, maybe important for both coaches as well. So I think, I think on to that. Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to hit on, or is that all we got today?
I think it's mostly it, man. You know, I was looking at Albany, and it was like, we lucked out. We caught them a year late. They were pretty good last year. I had a lot of good players, at least for that level, who have moved on either to other Power 4 schools or actually to the NFL in a couple cases. So, dodged the Great Dane bullet. I think they should be pretty manageable this week. And yeah, let's get some of that swagger back, man. Just some stuff to get the mojo going again, because, Pitt, the offense looked better. If they do something, get a little revenge against Cincinnati this week, you know, they're going to be up for us coming in there. So we got to make sure we have the swag back by then.
For sure. All right. So you can find us on Twitter. We're WestByPod with underscores. Follow Smoking Musket if you don't as well. WestByPod. I'm WV Stats Guy. He's Game Day Shorts. Get at us on SmokingMusket.com and join the Smoking Musket Discord. Especially if you're trying to melt down with irrational takes during College Football Saturday, it's all there for you. We'll see you in the chat. And thank you, as always, for listening. We will catch you guys next time.
All righty. Take care, gang.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.